Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about a subject. We're not invincible. And I gained that thought and that title from Magic Johnson's statement about Kobe Bryant, said I thought he was invincible. We've just been talking about for the first portion of today's broadcast about Kobe Bryant, the tragic events and his death and the death of his 13-year-old daughter and seven others on board. But we're making a transition with pointing out that we are not invincible militarily. We're not invincible societally. We're not invincible politically. We're not invincible, ladies and gentlemen, individually or collectively as a nation. We're talking about the coronavirus, the disease that spreads from animals to human beings, having its origins in Wuhan, China, now spreading around the globe, including five cases in America. And the disease has already killed over 50 and about 3,000. By the way, that number is refuted in some other articles that I have just read moments ago. There's about 80 now that's died as a result of that, and about 3,000 ill from the disease. And it seems to be looming around the globe. And ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says U.S. experts prepare to evacuate citizens as experts, U.S. prepares to evacuate citizens as experts predict coronavirus could impact and infect as much as 270,000 people. I don't know if you can imagine that or not. Greg, I believe you're still on the line with us. Greg, when you hear that number, that the experts say that it could infect some 270,000 people with the coronavirus. In fact, the article goes further. The United States government is reportedly preparing to evacuate American citizens from Wuhan, China, as the novel coronavirus continues to ravage the nation. While China has dumped considerable resources into containing the outbreak, experts predict cases could still soar above 270,000 in the next 2 weeks. That's a rapid spreading disease. And when we have it in several states in America today, and several citizens have already come down with it, tell us your thoughts. What have you heard, and what do you say to this?
Today in Wuhan, it's like a ghost town. This is a pretty large city. This is like one of our major metropolitan areas. It's a pretty large city, and it's like a ghost town today because of fear dealing with this this virus. Now, the 270,000 number, I thought that you were discussing that as a potential maximum. The notion that we see 270,000 infected people in the next couple of weeks is highly possible. The fact is, you have all the outbreak over in Asia, but you have you said five. I thought it was just three. I think it was three last night. It was, you know, we have Seattle, Washington Population Center, Orange County Population Center, and the third case, where was that? In any case, we have three in Chicago. There we go. Three that I had heard of. So I guess that's two more overnight in the United States. How many people were contacted by those people over the past 2 weeks or during the time frame that they were infectious or are still infectious? And how many people did those people come in contact with? The numbers grow exponentially. And it's off the charts. This is something that's not to strike fear in the hearts of folks, but the stock market's watching this. The Dow's down 440, 460 points right now. The correlation with the stock market is, look what happened in Wuhan. Today, out of fear, that market is shut down. Nothing is moving. Nothing is really going on in Wuhan. What happens in Chicago when tomorrow morning they say now another 50 people have been infected? And the next day they say now another 300 people or now another 2,000 people. Now Chicago goes into that mode.
Yes.
What happens when Orange County goes? And these things, all of these people are traveling to and fro, some on airplanes, some on buses, some on subways, some in their private cars, but they touch other lives. How many lives do you touch in a single day inadvertently? People that you either talk to or you touch a handrail or sit down in a chair and you sneeze one time, how many people come in contact with those sneeze droplets? It sounds gross, and I don't mean to go that direction, but that's what the market's looking at today.
Yes.
Folks,
Greg,
that study.
Greg, hang in there with us, and let's continue this dialogue and discussion, but I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Hello, Pastor. I've been studying Bible prophecy for 40 years, and there's something wrong, something that doesn't make sense. And that is the scripture that says that people will be buying and selling, marriage, giving in marriage. I always thought that meant that things will be going on as usual before destruction comes. And it certainly doesn't sound like things are going on as usual right now with the China virus. What do you think?
Yes, sir. You're right. Well, you're mixing two different scriptures. It's in the same context, the prophetic future tense scripture. But in Matthew chapter 24, it is very, very clear. It says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are only the beginnings of sorrows, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then you find also what you're speaking of in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, 37, 38, and 39. And it's talking about in that day, knoweth no man, no, not even the angels in heaven, to my Father. But as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, every man was eating and drinking and marrying, etc., etc. And the whole point is, we're talking about now the entering into the days of the tribulation, the signs of what we're going to see in the last days, especially going into the days of the tribulation. But now there's the eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage is what people will be doing from the standpoint of when Jesus Christ returns. There's the nonchalant, everything's going to be all right, I'm not worried about anything. The eating and the drinking and the marriage indicating an unbelieving, an unprepared people at the time of Christ's return. But when we talk about the Matthew 24 text, the earlier portion, and talking about the events and the signs for the tribulation days, we're absolutely talking about what's happening, what will be happening in the atmosphere, what will be happening upon the earth, what will be happening on a global basis. But at the same time, what do you see today, generally speaking? You see people eating and drinking and marrying, going nonchalantly as though we're going to have all of eternity with no interruptions, with no problems, not expecting, not thinking about, not living as though Jesus Christ could come back at any time. But you, both of those are exactly right. But it's in the standpoint of what we as human beings are doing and how we're responding and what God says will be the signs. And the word the signs is the word semions. That means road markers, the benchmarks, the road signs that tell us where things are going. And when we see this taking place, as with the coronavirus, we need to understand that this is one of those things that's the pestilences, means diseases, that we see taking place. And that should cause us to sit up, look up, listen up, and understand that the day is nigh when we'll not have the opportunity to do anything anymore. The rapture is the next thing on the calendar of God, prophetically speaking. And when the rapture takes place, it'll be too late to say, I want to pray, I want to go to church, I want to know Jesus, I want to serve him. But we are in the last of the last days, I can tell you, based on the authority of Scripture and what God's Word tells us. I hope that is a brief answer for your question, a fantastic question, though. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about answering the question today. Are we invincible? My answer is no, we're not invincible. We are absolutely susceptible to death and all of the things that will be taking place according to the Word of God in the last of the last days. Greg, listen, here's an article that kind of touches on where we were and what you were just stating. Here's an article, and perhaps the listening audience wonders, how in the world can this spread so rapidly that there's the potential of 270,000, according to the CDC, in the next 2 weeks? Here's why. This article says 5 million left Wuhan, China, before the lockdown. 1,000 new coronavirus cases expected in the city in the next few days. The article further says about 5 million residents have left Wuhan before the lockdown because of the deadly coronavirus epidemic and the spring festival holidays, according to the mayor, revealed on Sunday as health officials warned the virus's ability to spread and was getting stronger by the moment. There were about 9 million people remaining in the city after the lockdown. Of the 2,700 people currently under observation in the city, about 1,000 were likely to be confirmed cases as of Sunday. Wuhan had 533 confirmed cases there. The central government imposed a lockdown on Wuhan, China, and several cities on Thursday, hoping to stop the new virus from spreading to other parts of the country and around the world. However, many had already left the city for the holiday, while others rushed out of the city before lockdown was announced on Wednesday night. And it goes on to talk about they've killed 80 people and infected more than 2,500, while health officials said the virus's ability to spread is getting stronger and stronger. And that's the thing that is going to cause the spread around the globe so quickly, I believe, Greg. Greg, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. This coronavirus, as they call it, corona is the same as crown, the same same meaning there, and it looks like it's a spiked virus underneath a microscope. It has little spikes all over it, so it looks like the crown, like you'd see an old school crown on a king. Nonetheless, I think from our perspective here in America, the view is to that of a black swan event. A black swan event is an event that's not expected, not anticipated, but it's earth-shattering, life-changing. And this sort of a virus and the rapid spread and the mortality rate associated therewith can be a black swan event. 9/11 was a black swan event. Pearl Harbor was a black swan event. Those were man-caused black swan events. The state of Florida had kind of a black swan event when three hurricanes hit the state in a single year. Things that are not anticipated, but they're life-shattering. They're earth-changing. So this is why this virus is of importance. I had a lengthy discussion with a fellow last evening that is a brilliant man, studies the scripture in depth. And, of course, his mind when we got on politics was, how long can this nation go on with $23 trillion in debt and another trillion each year and $100 trillion in offline debt or unfunded liabilities? And, you know, my simple response was, until some black swan event comes along and knocks us off our pedestal. We have essentially a 23-mile-high stack of cards in this country, and a coronavirus could be the wind that blows those cards down. Anything that substantially slows down the market or makes people fearful, a 9/11 event would do it. A bunch of different things. I mean, just look, keyword search, black swan events in history. This looks like the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu killed, 5 million people, something like that? What would it be like if 5 million people died in the next 6 to 12 months? You would have a shutdown in international markets. This country, the United States, is the powerhouse of the world economically. We are the economic hub to everything that happens in this world, but we are not mentioned in the Revelation text. We ain't there, at least not as an economic powerhouse. So where are we? The question is, will it be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, a decade from now? When will the United States be removed from our current position? Now, I don't want to see that happen, but I know the Bible's true. The Bible's real. The Bible is relevant today. So yes. When will that take place? And
what you're saying, Greg, is that we are not invincible as a nation, as a people, as a society. We are, in fact, vincible, not invincible. And yet somehow, some way, people are getting up and going, as the caller previously talked about the text in Matthew 24:36 and following, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It's simply an unconcerned society. A society that is unprepared, a society that is disinterested in anything that would be called prophetic text or future tense of what's going to happen to our nation. We are not invincible. But, Greg, I find it fascinating in the midst of this tragedy in the coronavirus and its rapid spread that China is now building two hospitals. Listen carefully. They're building two hospitals. They just broke ground on one, showed all of the heavy equipment breaking the ground. Listen, they didn't have to get a building permit. They didn't have to go to a committee. They didn't have to have a survey done. They didn't have to ask questions to the county, the city, can we, may we, should we. They just started breaking ground. And they said that they would build the first hospital to bed 1,000 people, and that they would have it finished in 7 days. Ponder that for a moment now, 7 days. And they're doing that because everything that's being done, they're putting in everything prefab. They're prefab modules that would be put in place, but in 7 days they'd be ready to receive 1,000 patients. The other hospital will say, will bed 2,500. They said they will have it done in 14 days. So in a matter of less than 3 weeks total, they will be able to hospitalize over 3,500 patients because they know how rapid this thing is moving, and they are on the ball, as I call it, getting prepared for it. But from a background of recognizing how we do things in America, to get a building permit, what you have to go through, and the time frame for architects, engineers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for the approval of the bureaucrats, of sometimes months and years to break ground and start construction. They started construction the time they saw this coming about that is going to cause a force a need, and they're doing it. But they're preparing for that, and I find it fascinating from that standpoint. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're witnessing the foreshadowing of what my Bible says, things to come, things to come. That's future events. And the Bible warns that the day will be when we will face global diseases, diseases that will result in the death of millions of people around the world. And that's not hysteria. That's not some doom and gloomish. That's pointing back to the Word of God, the prophetic text of what God says will take place as this old world comes to a screeching halt in the last of the last days. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, for you listening to us, and Greg, I want our listeners to understand that if you're saved, if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we won't be here for those final days in the days of the tribulation, when the days that 2 Timothy chapter 3 points out as the perilous times, that's the dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating days. We will see some of that, and perhaps as we're seeing now the foreshadowing by this pestilence called the coronavirus, we will see that exponentially increase. But the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. The sudden seizure, the snatching away, the taking away out of this old world, the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Greg, that gives me hope, that gives me encouragement, and it should be hope and encouragement and a challenge to every listener. But when we think about this, with 5 million people, Greg, overnight, 5 million people fleeing Wuhan, China, 5 million. And they're flying around the globe. Can you imagine how that disease will be spread exponentially and how it could fulfill the expectations of CDC of 270,000 in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, the numbers are, certainly we don't know how many of these folks left, they have fled and had the virus, and how many folks they've come in contact with. You get on board a plane with 200 people, and you're in close proximity, and you're flying across the Pacific or the Atlantic, you're in close proximity for a lot of hours. And they start to cough, and they start to sneeze. And right now, literally, I was in church yesterday. I coughed a little bit because, you know, a month ago I had the flu, and that cough just kind of comes and goes. But you start being hypersensitive to who's coughing in the room. There are three other people. I coughed, and within 3 or 4 minutes, three or four other people coughed. Well, what happens when you hear that coughing on the airplane? You know, anybody that realizes what's going on, you go, my goodness, get me a mask. Get me some Lysol. Most people don't know what's going on. You know, I speak with a lot of folks that don't watch news. So literally they are even more open to these things. This thing can be absolutely huge, very, very quickly, earth shattering, life changing, truly a black swan event. But, you know, as you say, these things, there's an exciting factor, and I'm not excited that people are going to die. I'm not excited that people are going to, you know, get this horrendous coronavirus. I'm excited to realize that the day is drawing close, that we will be raptured away. The day is drawing close to Jesus Christ's return, and I think that's the proper eschatological view. You know, folks will argue back and to over the, you know, pre, post, and mid-trib. Listen, 99% of people walking around this globe today, if you use those three terms, pre, post, and mid-trib, they go, what in the world are you talking about? But the reality is, I think, biblically, that's a pre-trib rapture view is a good view. I think it's the right view. But with any view, we have to realize the return of Jesus Christ is soon. Yeah. And we have also, as Americans, as believers, have our eyes wide open and realize the United States isn't in that picture. Are we focusing on what's important? The church at Ephesus was focused on a lot of things, and Jesus commended them for their works. But he also said, you have left your first love. Don't stop doing the works. If your church is involving these ladies that might otherwise go and get an abortion, keep doing that. But also, don't leave your first love. Your first love, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. That's the first commandment. Don't leave that first love. That great commission is go and tell. Don't leave that first love. Make those first things the priorities. Keep doing the good things you're doing, though.
Yes.
Don't leave off your first love.
Greg, I'm reading a further article here speaking of the coronavirus. It says, from observations, the virus is capable of transmission even during the incubation period, adding that the incubation period lasted from 1 to 14 days. Another portion of this article says some patients have normal temperatures, and there are many that have milder cases and some with no fever at all, still carriers, end quote. And the article further says there are signs showing the virus is becoming more transmissible, these walking contagion agents, hidden carriers, make controlling the outbreak a lot more difficult. Further, the article says the authorities had also not ruled out the possibility of the virus mutating in the near future, he said, which means it could spread to different age groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on to compare it then to the SARS virus of just a few years ago, where 800 people died and 8,000 around the world were ill from the virus. But the point that I want us to understand today, Greg, is the scripture points out in Matthew 24, verses 8, 4 and following, that some of the signs that we're going to see is wars and rumors of wars. We're watching that today in Iraq and Iran, China and Russia, North Korea and Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As I tell people, you can take the globe, spin it, close your eyes, spin it, put your finger down, and you're most likely going to put your finger on a place where there's war or rumblings of wars. That word rumors of wars means rumblings of wars. So we're seeing that. Earthquakes, another indication, and we're seeing the increase in the number and in the strength of earthquakes every day in and day out around the globe. And then the word pestilences found in that text means diseases in various places. No, ladies and gentlemen, we are not invincible as a nation. We're not invincible as individuals. We're not invincible as a military power. We're not invincible in any fashion. We are absolutely subject to God's power and God's control. Greg, hang in there. We've got another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, this is brief. I hope no more than 45 seconds. I want to underscore what Greg said, most important thing said on the radio in a long time. America is not mentioned, but the Bible has laid out clearly, if you read it and you understand Scripture, where we are and where we're headed. We are in the last of the last days. America's future is not good. She's fulfilled what God called her to do. I don't wish to discuss at length on your program. I just want to say that Greg is right on. God chooses to work through lesser-known people. He said a lot through the minor prophets, didn't he? That's extremely important.
Yes, yes.
If a man will read, and I emphasize the gender, if a man will read the Word of God through cover to cover, carefully, and in the context of human history, because God requires us to know those things too, since he gave us a mind, it is clearly evident where we are today, where we're going, and why every American ought to be on their faces before God asking for mercy. And those who understand what you preach in your little church, your ark amongst a dying world, if those people would simply understand what lies immediately ahead, which they can by reading the Word of God and listening to your message, to the righteous all will be well, Isaiah 3:10. But what lies immediately ahead of America is exactly what Greg said. We ain't in the Bible in the end times for a reason. I mean the continuation of the end times. America as a dominant nation, as a nation that has an input in the world stage, is rapidly
closing, and we'll be just a part of a great humanistic, demonic world order soon. I took too long to say that. I apologize. Greg, you're right. America isn't in history for a reason. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for that call. Greg, as we have the next couple of minutes before our broadcast ends today, I want our listeners to understand we are not invincible, and at the risk of redundancy, may I repeat again, we're not invincible as a nation, we're not invincible as an individual, we're not invincible militarily, we're not invincible financially, we're not invincible socially. We are invincible, and it's because God is the one that's sovereign, and God's the one that's in control. So as the days come and go, and this coronavirus increases, we need to recognize the need to turn to God. As our caller said, as Marshall said a moment ago, we need to have our faces before God in prayer, asking Him to give us wisdom and guidance, because the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left. Would you wrap up our broadcast today with some comments and statements in relationship to the discussion today? And again, going back to Magic Johnson saying about Kobe Bryant, I thought he was invincible. He's not invincible. We're not invincible. And we live in dark, dangerous, devastating times in our world today. But there's still an opportunity, folks, to say yes to Jesus.
I want to thank my all in and his great wisdom. He has seen a lot in this world, and he knows his scripture as you. And thankful for his wisdom and his willingness to share that. I see that, you know, the view of Kobe Bryant and is kind of a microcosm of the culture. Not anticipated. What's coming next for this culture will not be anticipated by the great majority.
That's right.
In fact, I would say the majority of those in churches today, they will not be prepared. They are not prepared for what's next. And, you know, as much as we do rely upon the sovereignty of God, and that seems to come up a lot in conversations today, in God's sovereignty, that Ethiopian eunuch was to come to know Jesus Christ. He was searching, he was seeking, and God sent Philip to come alongside and to explain that Isaiah 53,
right.
So the Ethiopian eunuch could understand, so his eyes would be open. Today,
yes.
I'm praying believers would have their eyes opened to what's going on in the culture, so that they would be prepared and prepare their friends and share the gospel and understand this reality.
Yes.
Absolutely. All this nation. Be prepared.
Yes.
Fear the Lord.
Yes, be prepared. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.